Welcome to a series of talks about objective consciousness, an objective universe, and an objective way to awaken, expanding upon the works of George I. Gurdjieff and Russell A. Smith. In today's podcast, Russell will share with you an objective way of awakening the higher emotional center. Let's begin. Russell. When a person awakens their higher emotional center, they will not only attain the state of self-consciousness, but will also attain what Gurdjieff called steward. In Gurdjieff's scenario, people are likened to a carriage, horse, and driver. Having steward is akin to having a permanent passenger in the carriage. And if one has a permanent passenger in the carriage, they will experience a second form of attention, one that is directed on themselves. And as such, they will be in a permanent state of self-remembering. That second form of attention is best described as being in the presence of the watchful eye of conscience. Okay, hold on to your seats. What I'm about to tell you may befuddle some, as it offers an alternate meaning as to what one-brained beings, two-brained beings, and three-brained beings are. Steward first appeared in one-brained beings, who, after awakening their higher emotional centers, entered into the upper story of the three-story factory. And as such, they became two-brained beings, as they had a second arrow of attention, the attention of conscience. From there, out of 100-plus species of two-brained beings, one species was destined to become a three-brained being. Namely, us. As such, we were supposed to add a third arrow of attention, one that had no attention at all, just human beings with a conscience who existed in an empty, endless place that is filled with nothing but impartiality. Unfortunately, since man fell asleep and no longer possesses a higher emotional center, the state of self-consciousness, a steward, or a conscience, he need not worry too much about his obligation of becoming a three-brained being, adding a third arrow of attention, and existing in an empty, endless place. Instead, he should concentrate on becoming a two-brained being, one who has a double arrow of attention and exists in the presence of conscience, which, due to the struggles and dangers of life, the first men had, as they evolved from a social species, who in order to stay alive, had for some time been using every part of their centers, which, fortunately, had unified long before man arrived. However, after man appeared with the property of reason, it did not take him long to use that reason to tame the earth. And as such, men destroyed what they had been given from occurring in future generations. Here's how that happened. In order to better explain what occurred, let's make you one of the first beings with reason. When you appeared, you already had your higher emotional center, your steward, and your conscience, as they were acquired by the two-brained beings from which you evolved. Early on, you were most likely living in a cave with your wife and children. A cave, which you had to leave every day in order to gather food. However, before you ventured into the outside world, you most likely would have approached the mouth of the cave with great caution. In fact, you probably would have paused at the opening and stood there for quite some time, smelling for danger, looking for danger, listening for danger, and tasting for danger. As such, you would have been using every part of your instinctive center. Finally, when you decided that it was safe to leave, you began the journey of finding food. Let's say you knew where a fruit tree was. To make the journey from your cave to the fruit tree, you would not only continue to use every part of your instinctive center, but you would also add every part of your moving center. Then, after gathering fruit for your family, you headed back to your cave. However, when you reached your cave, you saw a wolf entering. As such, you dropped the food, let out a blood-curdling scream, and attacked it tooth and claw, as you were prepared to fight to the death in order to save your family. Which means that your emotional center was using all of its parts too. And, as every part of your three lower centers was fully functioning, your higher emotional center was fully functioning as well. But, as you did not know how you acquired it, nor acquired your higher mental center, which had given you reason, you only used them as tools for survival. And as such, you ended up destroying the possibility of future generations acquiring them. How did that happen, you ask? Well, it started when you and the wolf fought to the death. After which, in order to eliminate future threats, you hunted down and killed every wolf you could find. In addition, you built a fence around your cave. After all, you believed that it was your responsibility to make the world a safer place for your children. Now, look down the road and watch how your children's 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 children approached the mouth of the cave. They did so very nonchalantly, because there was no longer any danger, as you had killed all the wolves and put up a fence. Thus, your descendants no longer needed to stand at the mouth of the cave and smell and look and listen and taste for danger. And as such, they quit using the higher parts of their instinctive centers. In addition, they no longer needed to use the higher parts of their moving centers, as the fruit tree that was once growing very far away was now growing in the fenced-in area right outside the cave. And the final killing blow occurred when one of them asked another to bring them a piece of fruit, to which they replied, "Get it yourself," which is indicative that they lost the higher parts of their emotional centers as well. Unfortunately, without those parts functioning, they never awoke their higher emotional centers, which, as we shall see in a moment, is accomplished when the parts of the three lower centers unify. However, that cannot happen if there are not enough parts. And, As such, your descendants never acquired their steward, nor their conscience. Not to mention the fact that without their higher emotional centers, they were unable to further develop their higher mental center. Thus, no impartiality and no higher reason, which placed them in the invidious position of having to rely on the mechanical reason of the formatory apparatus. Sadly, as all the wolves had been killed, the tree with the fruit was right outside the cave, and they told those who asked for a piece of fruit to get their own. They lost the higher parts of their lower centers. And, as such, when they reached a responsible age, they were unable to awaken. But let me back up and say, it is not that hard to awaken, as there are only three things required, which are thoroughly explained in the Blueprint of Consciousness. Here's the short version. Number one is to know the rule of two-thirds, which is, in order to have something, you do not need to have it all. That is, in order to pass a test, you seldom need to score 100%, but only 66%. Number two is to understand the structure of our centers, which is that every center has three parts and nine parts of parts. And furthermore, the nine parts of parts of the higher emotional center are simply the three parts of the instinctive, moving, and emotional centers, which after unifying, become the higher emotional center. And, most importantly, number three is to have an objective exercise that will do that. Once those three requirements are met, awakening, as I said, is not that difficult, which again is thoroughly explained in the Blueprint of Consciousness. Okay, back to the disaster at hand. When your descendants reached responsible age and ceased to awaken, schools of the fakir, the yogi, and the monk were created. Unfortunately, those schools were only able to satisfy the first two requirements, but had no clue as to how to satisfy the third. Let me explain. The fakirs, yogis, and monks believed that even though they were unable to satisfy the third requirement, those who joined their way would be able to awaken if they put enough pressure on one of their centers. Here's how that went. The fakirs, yogis, and monks realized that they had three parts, the mechanical parts of their instinctive, moving, and emotional centers, as those parts functioned automatically. As such, fakirs, knowing that they only needed three more parts in order to awaken, solely concentrated on their instinctive centers. That is, they put their legs in anthills, laid on beds of nails, and stood in front of temples on their fingertips and toes, hoping that by concentrating on their instinctive centers, they would be able to pick up two additional parts, the emotional part and the intellectual part of their instinctive centers, which would give them five parts, the three mechanical parts, as well as the emotional and intellectual part of their instinctive center. In addition, fakirs picked up the emotional part of their moving centers, because in order to keep from pulling their legs out of the anthills, refrain from jumping up off the bed of nails, and stay standing on their fingertips and toes, they needed to have some control over their moving centers. As a result, fakirs acquired 6 parts. But the problem was, without satisfying the 3rd requirement, they were unable to unify them. Next were the yogis. The yogis solely concentrated on their moving centers. That is, they did martial arts, danced, stretched, and sat in lotus positions, hoping that by concentrating on their moving centers, they would be able to pick up 2 additional parts, the emotional part and the intellectual part of their moving centers, which would give them 5 parts, the 3 mechanical parts, as well as the emotional and intellectual part of their moving center. In addition, yogis picked up the emotional part of their instinctive centers, as they had to endure the pain of sitting in lotus positions and practicing martial arts. As a result, yogis acquired 6 parts. But the problem was, without satisfying the 3rd requirement, they were also unable to unify them. Lastly, were the monks. They solely concentrated on their emotional centers. That is, they followed the path of obedience and did what they were told, like scrubbing the temple floor for 8 hours, hoping that by concentrating on their emotional centers, they would be able to pick up 2 additional parts, the emotional part and the intellectual part of their emotional centers, which would give them 5 parts, the 3 mechanical parts, as well as the emotional and intellectual part of their emotional center. In addition, monks also picked up the emotional part of their instinctive centers, as they too had to endure the pain of scrubbing the temple floor. That is, the monks did not need to use wax-on, wax-off techniques. They just needed to block out the pain and keep on scrubbing. As a result, monks acquired 6 parts. But the problem was, without satisfying the 3rd requirement, they too were unable to unify them. For those reasons, Gurdjieff called monks stupid saints, and yogis weak yogis, as they were lopsided. So, the 3 traditional ways had little chance of ever unifying their 6 parts. However, every 20 years or so, some fakir, yogi, or monk does awaken, which keeps the illusion alive that their way is a viable way. But if it were a viable way, every fakir, yogi, and monk would have awakened. Anyway, that is how schools of the fakir, the yogi, and the monk came into being. Then, many years later, the 4th way was created, when someone asked, instead of being lopsided, what if we build in balance? What if we get a couple of parts in our instinctive center, a couple of parts in our moving center, and a couple of parts in our emotional center? If so, we will be able to get our 6 parts that way. Thus, followers of the 4th way also acquired 6 parts. But the problem was, without satisfying the 3rd requirement, they were unable to unify them as well. But every so often, someone, like Gurdjieff, does awaken. However, when they do so subjectively. And by awaking subjectively, they were unable to show others how to do the same. So sadly, there were no objective ways to awaken. That is, until I showed up, discovered a way of satisfying the third requirement, and started showing others how. After which, there was an objective way. At this point, it is not uncommon for someone to inquire, "Okay, Russ, how can I do that? Because I too would like to awaken." To which I respond, "Firstly, you need to have six parts. And secondly, you need to find a way of unifying them." Fortunately, the objective exercise will take care of the latter. Which means, all you need to do is take care of the former. So, right here, right now, let's take a survey to see if you have achieved the former. We previously deduced that all human beings have three mechanical parts. The mechanical part of their instinctive, moving, and emotional centers, as those parts function automatically. Which means that you too have three parts. And as such, you are already halfway there. Congratulations! Okay, what other parts do you have? The next available part is the emotional part of the instinctive center, which represents your five senses, sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. Do you think you have the emotional part? Can you tell the difference between bitter, sour, and sweet? And the difference between a high tone and a low tone? If so, you unequivocally will be able to claim the emotional part of your instinctive center. That means you have four of the six parts that are needed to awaken. Woohoo! The next available part is the intellectual part of the instinctive center. Unfortunately, the intellectual part requires controlled attention. And as such, Gurdjieff indicated that we would be unable to claim that part unless we were conscious. Otherwise, we would put our hands in fire in order to prove we had control over pain. As such, you will not be able to claim the intellectual part of your instinctive center. But you still have four parts. The three mechanical parts, as well as the emotional part of your instinctive center. So, let's move into the moving center. We already deduced that you have the mechanical part, but do you have the emotional part? The emotional part gives you the ability to write your name, talk, run, jump, climb, and do a somersault. Can you do those things? If so, you unequivocally will be able to claim the emotional part of your moving center. In fact, it is hard to imagine someone who does not have that part. Okay, you now have five parts. And as such, you are just one part away from having enough parts to awaken. Yeehaw! The next available part is the intellectual part of the moving center. Some people quickly say, "Oh, I have that part." If they do, I say, write your name. and they write their name. After which I say, "Now, write it again and make it look exactly the same as the first time you wrote it," which they cannot do. That being said, I would be hesitant to allow you to claim the intellectual part of your moving center. However, you still have 5 parts. You just need 1 more. So, let's see if we can find it in the emotional center. We already deduced that you have the mechanical part. Everybody has background moods and such. The next available part is the emotional part of the emotional center. That part allows you to be touched by the world, to feel love, to feel sorrow, to feel joy, and to cry at the end of sad movies. For example, if you watched the movie Lassie Come Home and were saddened by the struggles that Lassie went through, and then cheered when she finally made it back to Timmy, you unequivocally will be able to claim the emotional part of your emotional center. What do you think? Do you have the emotional part of the emotional center? If your answer is yes, congratulations are in order, as you have 6 parts. And as such, the objective exercise will be able to show you how to unify them and awaken. But first, let's do the last part of the emotional center, the intellectual part, even though you do not need it. The intellectual part would enable you to generate emotions on command, like great stage actors can, who are able to show anger, love, or fear at the director's call, to where everyone who watches them perform believes them to be angry, in love, or afraid. Can you do that? Probably not. But even without the intellectual part, you still have 6 parts. And as such, you will be able to awaken. You simply need to unify them, which, as I said, will be accomplished when you perform the objective exercise that is in the blueprint of consciousness. Okay. That pretty much covers how you can awaken the higher emotional center, as well as acquire Steward. However, I would like to end this podcast by relating your awakening to the awakening of Jesus Christ. If you think about it, awakening your higher emotional center is very much likened to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That is, by awakening your higher emotional center, you effectively are giving birth to yourself. Jesus' awakening was initiated when Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem to be counted. However, when they arrived in Bethlehem, there was no room in the inn. Why was there no room in the inn? Well, because someone was about to awaken, and they could not do that amongst the intellectual blatherings that take place in the inn. Blatherings which not only keep those who utter them asleep, but also keeps everyone who listens to them asleep. And, as the inn is full of such things, there was no room for anything else. Therefore, if someone wished to awaken, they needed to go to the stables, where the animals were. Because, in order to awaken, they needed to unify the 3 lower centers, which were inherited from the animals. And as such, the journey to awakening was synonymous with being with the animals. Please take note. The intellectual center, which dominated the men in the inn, was not a participant. That being said, if you seek to unify your animal centers and give birth to yourself, the first thing you must do is control them. To do that, do what they did in the story. Get some shepherds. Shepherds know how to control animals. If you had some shepherds, you just might be able to control your animal centers, do the objective exercise, and awaken. Pa-ra-pa-pum-pum. The good news for you is, the emotional parts of your three lower centers represent the shepherds, as emotional parts function with attention. And if you had sufficient attention, you would not only be able to control your animal centers, but you would be able to unify them as well. Okay. Are you ready? Are your centers under your control? If so, let's do the objective exercise. Wow! It is done. There is a bright light in the sky, the Star of Bethlehem, which represents the illuminating light of conscience. Your thoughts stop, and you become enlightened. Congratulations. You have just had a virgin birth, and, as such, have successfully become a two-brained being. Pa-ra-pa-pum-pum. Well, that is the end of the story, as well as the end of this podcast. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions that you would like to have answered, please send them to information@thedogteachings.com, and we will endeavor to answer them and perhaps include them in a future podcast. In addition, you can also find us on Instagram and Facebook under The Dog Teachings. Or, if you would like to purchase Russell Smith's book, The Blueprint of Consciousness, a 520-page hardback, which is also available for PDF download, and learn more about the subjects and exercises we have been exploring, you can do so by going to thedogteachings.com. We also have two Zoom classes, which are held every Saturday. One is for purchasers of the book, and the other is for those who have received the Master Exercises. That's thedogteachings.com. There, you'll be able to listen to other talks, obtain diagrams, animations, supporting videos, and much, much more. But, most importantly, you will have real-time access to the materials we are discussing. That's thedogteachings.com. Goodbye. Until next time. Pa-ra-pa-pum-pum.